Okay, continuing in Sefer Yonah, we are still in Perek Aleph, the first chapter. This is our second regular class. Today is October 23rd, L'Misparim, and Gimel Mar Cheshvan. Is it Rav Avadya Yosef's yard site, maybe? Today or tomorrow? Anyway, last time we learned the beginning psukim, we spoke about why Yonah ran away, particularly according to the Malbim, that it wasn't just that he didn't want the Jewish people to look bad if Nineveh did tshuva and the Jewish people don't, but that Nineveh was, as the capital of Ashur, was actually Hashem was building them up so that they could cause demise for the Jewish people or trouble for the Jewish people. So Yonah didn't want to be a part of that, and he understood that that was supposed to be his response to Hashem. It was an error, but Yonah is a Navi, and he's not running away as a rebellion or for no reason. We spoke about how milifnei Hashem, it's not that he ran away from Hashem, he ran away from being in front of Hashem, which means he wanted to run to a place where there's no prophecy, and we mentioned some of the teachings of the rabbis of the Gemara and the Medrash, that when it says Vayitain Schara, he gave its fare, he paid the entire fare of the boat, because he wanted two things. They hadn't loaded up entirely yet, and he didn't want there to be too many people. He wanted some people on the boat so that Hashem wouldn't speak to him when he was in the company of more lowly figures, lowly personalities, that he figured Hashem wouldn't talk to him. But he didn't want to have too many people there, because that would they would be endangered, he sensed. By the way, there's a beautiful teaching of Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, the great Hasidic Rebbe Rav Tzadok, very prolific author. His works have studied all kinds of Jews. He was a student of the Ishbitzer. He wrote numerous svarim. One of his most popular svarim is called Tzidkas HaTzadok. Beautiful work. Some of it's Kabbalistic and a little hard to understand, but a lot of it is very understandable and applicable. And he has a teaching there. He says, sometimes a person sees that he or she has siyata d'shmaya, meaning, wow, things are going my way. This is really working out well. And it's tempting to want to say that means that God is on my side. Well, look at it. Look how this happened and that happened. It all played out perfectly. Sometimes it might be siyata d'shmaya. Sometimes it might be a test. As I recall, he derives that from when the people said to Moshe and Aaron after the story of Korach, Atem hamitem es am Hashem. You killed Hashem's people. Moshe, so to speak, caused the rebels in the Korach rebellion to die. So you can ask the question, we did that? Hashem did that. I didn't do that. So what they were saying is, you with your tefillah, you caused that Hashem gave you siyata d'shmaya, but it doesn't mean it's the right thing. Which is an interesting source for that. So what's interesting is that according to some sources, Yonah saw siyata d'shmaya in his fleeing from Hashem. A quote here from the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, which I mentioned last week. It's a series of Haggadic teachings that sort of fill in some of the stories that we have in Tanakh. In the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, and there's a good deal on Yonah here, it says there wasn't a boat. And just when Yonah came to Yafo, Hashem made a boat that was going in that direction. So he understood, maybe this is what I'm supposed to be doing. There's a very beautiful series of svarim on Tanakh called Mishpat Zozah, a very nice collection of brown set of svarim, so that they connect this teaching of Reb Tzadok with this here. Yonah, as a Navi, he thought, look, Hashem is helping me run away. It must be that's what I'm supposed to do. So Yonah actually interpreted that he was doing the right thing. I don't know if all commentators would agree with that, but certainly one can make the case that, as you find, as I've mentioned, sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu responds to Hashem. Sometimes man struggles with Hashem, and Yonah thought maybe this was a test, and he's supposed to respond, he's supposed to run away. So certainly at any level, we should not understand Yonah as being rebellious or thoughtless. God forbid you're talking about a Navi. That's the point that all the commentators make at the beginning of the Sefer. All right, we spoke about last time that Hashem cast a great storm in the sea, and according to the Zohar and the other sources from our Chachamim, it was only around the boat. It was only around the boat that they were on, and the Oniyah Chishavah L'Hishaver. the boat thought it was threatening to break, which some say means the people on the boat thought it was going to break. Some say it's a figure of speech. The boat was thinking of breaking, meaning the boat was in danger, like we say in English. The boat was threatening to burst. So notice in Pasuk Hey, in the fifth Pasuk, it says, Vayir'u ha-malachim. The sailors feared. Vayizaku ish el Elohav. And they cried out, each man to his God. I just want to mention as a foreshadowing, what's going to happen in Pasuk Yud, when Yonah finally speaks up, and we'll talk about what his response is, but when Yonah speaks up and they hear what he has to say, what does it say in Pasuk Yud? Vayir'u ha'anashim yir'ah gedolah. And the people feared a great fear. When their life was in danger, it says they were afraid. When they heard about God of heaven and earth, the one infinite God who rules heaven and earth, and this man is a prophet of that God, they were more in awe of that. But Yirah Hashem, Yirah Gedolah, very important point to notice. They're more frightful, more fearful. Something larger than just a life and death situation is the awe of Hashem himself, and recognizing it's not this deity and that deity and paganism. So it's very striking there. It becomes Yirah Gedolah. But anyway, back in Pasuk Hey, just summarizing, they all cry out to their gods. They throw the vessels that are on the ship into the sea to make it lighter. And Yonah goes down, as we talked about last time, to Yarkasei HaSvina, to the edge of the Svina. A number of the commentators point out, until now it's been called an Oniya. That's a word for a boat, and here it's called a Svina. The Malbim says Safun, like the word Safun means hidden. It's the most hidden and sealed part of the boat. Yonah thought that if he drowns first, and if he's irretrievably lost, that would bring a sooner salvation to everyone else. So he went really down to the hopeless part of the boat. Vayishka vayeradam. And he lay down and he went to sleep. An amazing ability to go to sleep when this is going on. Some take it because Yonah thought he was doing the right thing, and what he has to do is forfeit his life not to have this happen. And he's at peace with it. There's some Mefarshim take it much more to pshat level, that he was getting sick from the tossing and turning of the sea. At any rate, the fact that he could sleep shows you some strength of confidence in his decision and what he's doing. And in Pasuk Vav, famously, the Rav HaChovel comes to him and says, Malach HaNirdam, what's with you, sleeping one? And the words in the book of Yonah are so powerful and so obviously meant to be crying out to us in context way beyond the story. All the Svarim talk about that Yonah is Klal Yisrael. Yonah is the Jewish people, and there's storms going on all around us that other people are getting worked up about and upset, and they're responding. They're responding, and the Jewish people is the one. We're Yonah. For. We're the one that it's for, and we're sleeping. We're asleep. In fact, when Yonah's going to say Bishali Hara'azo, this is because of me, that is the statement of Klal Yisrael, Bishali Hara'azo. So you open a paper and you read all chaos in the world, we don't always know how and why, but it's Bishali, HaKol Bishvil Yisrael. And Yonah, of course, it happened literally this way, but it's also a metaphor for all this. So Malach HaNirdam is a phrase that should echo in our ears. What's with you, sleeping one? What are you sleeping? Kum, get up, kra el elokecha, cry out to your God. Ulay yisashes. I'm in Pasuk Vav. Ulay yisashes. So we spoke about this word a little bit last time. Ayin shin tuf can mean thoughts. Avdu eshtonosav is a phrase in Tehillim that we say in davening. So one way that some commentators take it is maybe he'll reconsider. Ulay yisashes ho elokim. Maybe God will reconsider for us, v'lo noved, and we will not perish. And as I mentioned last time, that fascinating Ibn Ezra, who says that's why 11 is called Ashtei Esrei in Torah, because it's the first one that involves complicated math. There's a ones and a tens line. So it's like deeper thoughts. Very interesting. Ibn Ezra says 11 is like complicated number. It's been simple till now. And even 10, 0 in the 1's comp. Now you got 11, whew, just gotta got different cheshbonos going on here, so that's related to Yisra Sheis. That's what Ibn Ezra says. Others say it's a word that means combined, and this is based on how they interpret a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Mayav Eshes Shein, which is hard to translate in the first place. But the way some translate that pasuk, Eshes means a combination. So I mentioned last time the Al Shech HaKadosh says Ulai Yis Ashes Ha Elokim. Moshe Asher says Elokim is Midas Adin, is when Hashem is being judging harshly. Maybe he'll combine with Elokim the other name, the other Mida Kaviyachal of Hashem, which is to be more merciful. So maybe Yis Ashes Elokim. So how does the Al Shech deal with combine? Maybe he'll combine what we call Midas Harachamin with Midas Adin, mercy with strictness. Maybe if we pray, Hashem right now is obviously judging us harshly, maybe he'll combine, he'll add some mercy to that. That's the Alshach's way of taking Yisashay. So I hadn't noticed this last time, but the Abarbanel in his commentary, a lot of what the Malvim says is straight from the Abarbanel. That's in general in his commentary, but especially here, but sometimes not, sometimes he disagrees strongly. I'll just mention that as an aside. But if you look at the Abarbanel here, he says Yisashes meaning combine. Why? Because, and I think this is central to the whole story here, they're crying out Ish El Elohav, each man to his God. This Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah, this Avodah Zarah. And they come to Yonah and they say, hey, one person's not participating. We need full participation. We need to cry out to all the gods out there. You understand? You're coming to a Navi of Hashem and saying, cry out to your little deity, your little Geshka also, you know? So Yis Ashes, the word meaning combination is, we're crying out to all of our gods, and if we get your participation also, then, you know, then we'll get all the gods together. It'll be a wonderful salvation. So you can understand why Yonah doesn't respond. I was talking last time, it's very striking when there's some things in the story that no matter what shot you follow, they just stand out. Yonah does not respond to the Rav HaCholva. So we said last time, it could be that the next scene happened simultaneously, where they drew lots, and he's responding to them and him together. It does sound that way, according to the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, but the way the story is presented, it looks like he does not respond to the Rav HaCholva. And I would suggest it's because, especially if you take it like the Abarbanel here, we're all crying out to our gods. You got to cry out to your little god too. The owners aren't interested in responding to that. That's not the way it works. That's absolutely not the way it works. And if you want my Elohim or him to Yisashes to join up with yours, then I have nothing to say. So Yonah, some say he continued sleeping, by the way, which would be remarkable. But he doesn't respond. Then Pasuk Zion, each man said to his friend, come, let's draw lots, and Apila Gorolos, and we'll know, Bishelmi Hara Hazos Lanu. So the Malbim and the Abarbanel and others say they wanted to know possibly two things. Maybe there's somebody here who's a guilty party, or maybe there's somebody here who knows what the problem is. Maybe we're the guilty party, but there's somebody here who can help us, either because he's the problem, or because he knows what the problem is. Of course, the Malbim, they sort of put both meanings into one phrase. Bishelmi hara azos lanu. If it's lanu, if it's us, then it's not shelmi. He says they want to know, maybe there's somebody here who it's about him, or maybe he knows why it's about us. That's how he kind of reads that phrase. And as the Abarbanel and the Malbim say, the Barbanel always begins his commentary with a number of questions. Like, you read the basic text and you can't figure certain things out. He always asks the questions first and he goes back and answers them. So one of the questions is, why do they think they could do a lottery and figure out, the lottery's going to fall on somebody. So the answer is, it's Napila Goralos. We're going to do many lotteries, and what happens, it fell out consistently on Yonah, each time, which shows that he's it. So Pasuk Ches, Vayomru a love, they said to him, Hagida na lanu. Please tell us, Ba'asher l'mi hara hazos lanu. To whom? Because of whom is this bad befalling us? Ma malachtecha, what is your craft? Me ayin tovo, where do you come from? Ma artzecha, what's your land? Ve'emizem am ata. And from what nation are you? Again, the Barban Olam album, others explain, the ancients believed that the sea gods, or whatever force they believed in, didn't like a certain... they didn't like lawyers. No, they didn't like they didn't like certain trades. So mamalachtacha, maybe you do something that the gods don't like. They didn't like people from certain places. So they're asking all these questions. What's going on? What's the issue here? Is it where you know, or do you know something? Are you able to tell us something that would give us an insight into what we're doing wrong? Vayomer aleihem, and he said to them. First chapter, ninth pasuk. Vayomer aleihem ivri anochi. I am an ivri, a Hebrew. That's the word Hebrew is from ivri. Ivri anochi. Ve'es Hashem Elokei Hashemayim ani yore. Asher osu es hayom ve'es hayabasha. I am an ivri. And Yudke Vavke, God, who is the God of heaven, the God of the heavens, I fear, who made the sea and the dry land. He is answering, to use the words of the Abarbanel, no, use the words of the Svarim, sorry. Listen to this. Ivri Anochi. The Talmid of Shel Aver, I'm from the students of Aver. She'ein lahem malacha v'lo eretz miyuchedes l'dirasam. We are a group that's united not by some. If you want to know what group do I belong to, it's not this trade union and it's not that. We're not united by any craft and not even by a land that's designated for their dwelling. Avol holchem me'ir le'ir lilmodu l'lamed. They go from city to city, go around different places. Klal Yisrael is spreading light in different places. Ve'ena machlal hamon ha'am. We're different. I'm an Ivri. You ask a question, you assume I fit into a certain box, a certain category. Ivri anochi. I don't fit into that category. That's how the Svarno says it. Interestingly, the Abarbanel says Ivri Anochi it was a double meaning. Ivri is a word for a Jew, a Hebrew, but it's also from the word Avaryan. I am a sinner. Ooh. Ivri Anochi, I am a sinner. Which really puts a damper on a very popular song.
I was going to say, that's what they sing all the time. Like, that is the song, right?
So, Benny Friedman and the Abarbanel didn't learn the pasuk. It happens to be, it's an uncommon job. There's a very nice popular Jewish song that's very upbeat. These words, I don't think the Abarbanel would sing it that way, because according to the Abarbanel, it's...
Doesn't it also mean from the other side?
Yeah.
It means from the other side.
Yeah, the reason... Chazal says, actually, on this week's parasha, that we're called Avram HaIvri. We're called Ivri Shekola Olam Me'Ivri Echad V'Hu Me'Ivri Sheni. We're on the other side. The whole world goes this way, and we go that way, against the grain, which is certainly included in the meaning here as well. According to Abarbanel, V'es Hashem Elokei Hashem Ani Yare doesn't just mean in general, I'm God-fearing. It means I'm afraid of God because I violated His will. That's not the way most of the Mepharshim take it, but that is... That's the Abarbanel. To read from the Malbim, though, he tshuva klalis. It's a general answer. V'chol ha-she'elos, to all the questions. Shehu ivri, shehem holcha yom va'aniyos, v'ein ha-yom esnage, lo lahem v'lo la'artzim, v'lo makom shabartzim. You asked, is there something about where I come from, or what my craft is, that would make the sea gods, or whatever it is, we don't do well at the sea. No, kihem l'chof yamim yishkanu, the Jewish people do go out to sea. And what's my malacha? So according to the Malbim, he is answering the question. You know what my job is? You know what I do for a profession? I'm a prophet. That's a full-time job. Shehu Navi, Dovek Bakel Elyon. Ve'ein hayam esnagel malachta v'yosalaka. Believe me, the sea is not opposed to Ishei Elokim, to people of God. So it's none of that. He says this is the answer to all of the questions that he had asked. Now, another very striking thing in the story is, look at Pasuk Yod. Vayir'u ha'anashim yir'ah gedolah. And the people feared a great fear, which, as I said before, contrasts to before when they were just afraid for their lives. In Pasuk Hey, it says, Vayir'u ha'malach. They were afraid. Now they have a great fear. which ultimately is the goal. This is already the resolution in Sefer Yonah, that people went from crying out to all kinds of false gods to having a great fear of Hashem. That itself is already a tikkun. Vayomru Elav, and they said to him, Mazos Asisa, what is this that you've done? Ki yadu ha'anoshim ki milifnei Hashem huvareach ki higidlahem. Because the people knew that from before Hashem he was fleeing because he told them. It seems at first blush a funny way the story is being told to us. If we're writing the story, they ask him all these questions, and it would say, he responded, I'm an Ivri, I fear Hashem, and he's punishing me because I ran away from him. And then the people were afraid. The way the story is presented, he just says, I'm an Ivri, I fear Hashem, the God of heaven who made everything. And then it says, and the people became very afraid because he was running away from Hashem. They knew that because he told them. It's like an afterthought. It doesn't actually tell us how he told them. As a matter of fact, it tells us their response and mentions incidentally, and they were concerned about that because he told them. It very much makes it sound like the fact that he's running away from Hashem is secondary. And it seems to me, the Mefarshim don't take it this way, the Malbim doesn't, but I do believe it's a very viable shot. Two things. There could be two reasons why Yonah didn't really want to get into the nature of his sin with these people. First of all, it was very specific to the Jewish people. I'm supposed to... You know what's happening, my dear Gentile friends? I'm supposed to be helping a nation do tshuva, and I don't want to do it because it's going to be bad for the Jewish people. He didn't want to get into that. Also, Anavi's relationship with Hashem is above the common folk. It's not their business. So I think Yonah understood what these people need is to know that there's one God. And they should know I'm from Klal Yisrael, I'm a Navi, this is because of me. What my sin is, that's not... I don't think he explained too much. He did say, they probably said, well, what's the problem? I mean, as Rabbi Nella has pointed out, well, if he's saying, I'm a Navi of Hashem, and he's not opposed to me, and there's nothing wrong with the nation I'm from, or my craft, or anything else, so why is it raining? So what's with the storm? So he had to say, Hashem is unhappy with me, but I don't think he got into the details. See, this is... Yeah?
I'm just saying, it's possible that the storm was there just so they would be fearful and realize that only the real God could take care of it. It had nothing to do with his being punished. It had to do with just the power of Yonah's God.
Right, right. See, it gets a little bit into what happens in the coming psukim, because we're going to have that they... You see, these are good people, by the way, which the Zohar says, I mentioned that they're an opening shir, which is how Gabriel had said that, also that's it's referring to these people, and you see that they're sensitive, they're not hasty. The Babanaki's point out, they're not hasty in their actions, and they really didn't want to have him lose his life. They delayed in that. So one of the things they're going to do in Pasuk Yud Gimel is they're going to try to get back to dry land. And they first asked Yonah, what should we do? The way some understand is that he did tell them that he's running away from Hashem. Some of them, he said, I am supposed to go to Nineveh and I'm not going there. And they said, well, maybe Hashem's angry at us because we're supposed to get you there. And Yonah's responding and he's saying, no, you're not. Just throw me in the water. Which is very interesting. And I would suggest as follows. I would suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to a person even when he's in violation of Hashem's will, and even when what he's doing is in violation of Hashem's will. If you ever learn the Tomer Devorah, it says you're supposed to be kind to somebody even when they're not nice to you. Where did we learn that from? A person is doing an Aveira, he's violating the will of God, who's the God of heaven and earth, and Hashem's still keeping him alive, his heart is pumping, he's breathing. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to make a point that if somebody did something not nice to him, he would do a chesed to the person. And they asked him, where did he learn it from? And he said, well, Hashem does that. We're supposed to go in the ways of Hashem. Hashem is kind to us even when we're doing the wrong thing. And it's really explicit in the Tamar Devar, but I don't know why he didn't quote it. I would suggest Yonah wants to run away. And now people have gotten involved. Until now it was a private matter, but now because of the storm, people have gotten involved. The way some learn, they're offering, they're saying, okay, so maybe we should bring you back. And you're going to see in the coming psukim, Hashem doesn't allow it. In fact, well, I'll read it in a second, but if you look in Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'lo yachol, they tried to get back to dry land and they weren't able. Hashem made it that they couldn't get back. The question is why? Yonah, here's a great story. Ready? I've run Steinberg's Book of Yonah. Yonah runs away. Hashem makes a big storm. Says, "Ha ha! You think you can run away from me?" The people say, "Hey, what's going on here? We just made it gorillas. It all fell on you. Should we get you back?" And Yonah says, "No, no, don't bring me back. I don't want to go to Nineveh." They said, "Yes, yes, you have to go back. Hashem said so." And they bring him back, and he goes, and he, why not that? Why not have the people help him get back? And in fact, when he says "Sa'uni vatilin elyon," there's a famous teaching of Erech Chachamim, Pirkei Avos quotes it, that they lowered him into the sea up into his knees, and the storm stopped. They picked him up, and started again. They lowered him to his waist, stopped. Picked him up, started again, which made them enter. Okay, well, he's right. We have to throw him into the sea.
Entertaining, so, though.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Where's that?
From a distance.
Where's that? Huh? Where's that? That's a mission.
It's not a Mishnah, it's, I believe the Medrash says it, but the Pirkei de Beleza says it as well. Even the classic Mepharshim quoted, almost all of them. He's going to use the word Sa'uni v'hatiluni, which means like carry me and cast me. So based on that, they say it was a carry and cast operation. You low, up, down, up, down, up. So Hashem is clearly indicating, just throw him off the boat. The question is why? Why not? I mean, it was a good idea. Why not bring him back? So to me, it all fits together. First of all, probably that even when Yonah is violating the will of Hashem, he doesn't want these people getting involved bringing him back. So Hashem says, okay, they won't. We'll have to do this the hard way. But if you don't want to go back, fine. I'm not going to have them bring you back. It could be he wants Yonah to come to it on his own, which would be a valid shot also. And I also think the whole thing, Yonah's issue with the shlichus of Hashem is a private matter. It's not for these people on the boat. And I think Yonah gets that. That's why he's going to say to them, according to a lot of Mepharshim, they were asking, maybe God is angry at us. It's not just you, it's us, because we're aiders and abettors in this. And Yonah is saying, basically, no, he wanted you to know there's one God, I just told you that. From now on, he's the one, and just throw me off the boat. And that's exactly what happened. So let's take a look. What should we do to you? And the sea will be silence, will be calm from upon us. Because the sea was going on and getting more stormy. It's getting worse and worse. Yud Beis 12. He said to them, carry me and cast me into the sea. I have to break for a quick Musar moment. Or Yahel, what's his name? Rav Chasman. Rav Chasman was a great mashkiach in Hebron, in the yeshiva in Europe. And it once happened that they finished Yom Kippur a little bit early. I don't know if they finished Mincha. I think they finished Mincha a little bit. There was a little break. And some of the boys started schmoozing a little bit. Started talking, nothing bad, they're talking a little bit. So he got up and he said, we just read Mafter Yonah. And Mafter Yonah, when Yonah knows he has got to be thrown into the water, he said, Hasa'uni vatiluni alayam. It means, it translates a little, it means carry me and cast me into the sea. So why do you say carry me? Just throw me into the sea. Hatiluni alayam, what's sa'uni? So he said Yonah knew that he had to face his demise, but if he could live another few seconds, those few seconds are immeasurably valuable. So he said, "Sa'uni vatiluni on." A few moments of life are infinitely valuable. He said, "A few moments of life on Yom Kippur, right before Ne'ilah. How much more so? We shouldn't squander any moments of our lives." First time I heard that was actually in a recording from Rav Don Segel, a great Baal Musar from Eretz Yisrael, quoting Rav Leib Chasman. That's a famous teaching that the books quote. It's "Sa'uni vatiluni alayam." It's another interpretation. He just wanted to delay a little bit. Anyway, I continue. Ki yodea ani. Because I know ki veshali hasar hagadol hazeh alechem. Words that should ring in our ears whenever we look at the world. Ki veshali, because of me, is this great storm upon you. Ki veshali hasar hagadol hazeh alechem. It's all because of the Jew. Sometimes the Jew is sleeping in the bottom of the boat, but it's because of him. So Yud Gimel Vayachderu Ha'Anashim LaHashiv Al Yabasha V'LeYacholu. So they don't right away listen. He said, "Throw me into the sea." They don't want to. And you see in a moment they're going to daven. Hashem, we don't want to spill blood here. They don't listen. To be choser is to do something in a penetrating way. It means like it literally means to dig. Machteres is a tunnel. But they're trying to pull their way through these waters that are fighting them. So Vayachderu Ha'Anashim LaHashiv V'LeYabasha. They tried hard to return to Dralin V'Lo Yacholu. They weren't able to. God did not make it in the cards that they should be able to get him back. Ki hayam holech v'so'er aleihem, because the sea was going on and getting more stormy upon them. Vayikru'u el Hashem. Who did they call to? Hashem. Not Ish el Elohav. Vayikru'u el Hashem. They called to Hashem. Vayomru, and they said, Ana Hashem, please Hashem, al na novda benefesh o ish hazeh. Let us not perish for the soul of this man. On the one hand, it looks like we're going to die because of this man. The storm is getting worse. We're going to drown soon. But also, Val titan alein adam naki, but don't put innocent blood upon us. We don't want to. They really do not want to throw him into the sea. Like we're stuck. We're going to die. But ki ata Hashem kasher chafatzas, he said, you are God. As you will, you do. Which is a great statement for them. It's not that these little forces, that this God and that God, and they all fight. Which means there's no God, which is all of Avodah Zarah. They really, you, whatever you want, you do. They have now come to the realization that there's Hashem Echad, which again is a tikkun, a complete tikkun in its own right. Now, there is a discussion based on this that is an interesting halachic discussion. There's a sefer called the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is one of the Rishonim. He is the leader, if you will, of Hasidei Ashkenaz, great Jews who lived in Germany, lived very pious lives, very ascetic lives, which for us they would seem very extreme. Yehuda Chassid is a great Rishon, and he has a sefer. A famous thing is he has a tzava, he left a will, certain practices that aren't mentioned in the Gemara, but that some people are careful not to do. They're based on his will, and he has a sefer that has certain teachings, some of them more mystical, some of them practices, minhagim, and some of them halachic statements. So in the Sefer HaChassidim, it says that if there's actually a contradiction. There's two different paragraphs in two very different places. One of them says, maybe I can even find the text, that if people are at sea, yeah, it's item Tufresh Ayantes, 679. Item 679 in Sefer Chassidim. B'nei Adam Sha'ovrim Bayom V'omda Aleim Ruach Sa'ar L'Shabra Hasfin. If people are at sea and there's a terrible storm and it's going to break the boat or it's going to drown them, Ush'ar Hasfinos Ovros B'Shalom. I'm just adding that little point. And the other ships are passing peacefully. B'yadua Sh'yesh Basfina Misha Chayiv. Then you know that there's somebody in the boat who's guilty. Urishoyim lahapil gorolos. They're allowed to cast lots. Hopefully it's not halacha lemaisa. But almishi yipul hagorol gimel to'amim zeh zeh. Urishoyim lahapilo bayam. If they do a lottery and three times it falls on one person. Okay. And he says the source is Yonah. And he mentions, so why didn't Yonah just jump off himself?
Good question.
So he said it was better that they should throw him. Non-Jews are with him. Better that they should throw him than that he should do it himself.
Did he think that it would have been suicide?
That's what I was thinking.
That's why it becomes a halachic discussion. It probably is that he had the right to do so anyway.
Because
they would have suffered terribly. In a circumstance of extreme suffering, In fact, this I'm looking at a tshuva response from Tzitz Eliezer, the great Rav Oldenburg, to Abraham Sofer. Abraham is a famous figure in Jewish medical ethics. Wrote the Nishmas Avraham. He's a doctor. He spoke here.
Spoke here.
This is a tshuva to him. What he had asked is, there's a story, and I made a copy of the page, there's a story in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud Ches, 18a in Mesechus Avodah Zarah, by Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, who was being tortured to death, was wrapped in a Sefer Torah, and they had put...
wet wool.
Yeah, the wet wool inside. So his daughter spoke to him, others, they were asking him basically how he was able to suffer this. And he said, the one who's going to demand the vengeance or the honor of the Torah will do the same for me. But then he says to the officer, the Gemara uses an interesting word for an officer there, but that he says to the officer, he asked him, let's see if I can find it. Yeah. Amalo Kaltstonirid. Tonir is a word for an officer. Rabbi Imani Marva Bashalhebis Vinotals Fugan Shall Semermal Libcha Atomivien Chayal Maba. If I increase the fire and take away the wet wool, will you bring me to the world to come? Amalo Hain. He said yes. He Shavali, swear to me. Nishbala. He swore to him. Miyad Hirba Bishalhebis Vinotals Fugan Shall Semermal Liva Yatza Nishmas of Mhera. Fine. And actually, that officer jumped in too. And they both went to Olam Haba. So Dr. Abraham was asking how he's allowed to do that. I mean, there are halachic discussions. So there's basically two different schools of thought, but one that in this case, he was suffering, and he really had the allowance to do it anyway, but it's still better that it not be done through him. So he orchestrates that this officer do it. The other approach he took is that it was the removal of a hindrance, not really actively doing it, but that was the part that he approved. But there's a big halachic discussion based on this. But we do have the Sefer Chassidim saying that if ever, God forbid, it were to happen, that there's a storm directly on one boat, and which is clear that this is some divine anger, and they draw lots three times, that actually then is permissible to throw the man overboard, which is a fascinating halachic statement, because there's sources about this. There's a Mishnah in Trumos, there's a whole big discussion about this in Yeridea, Simen Kufnun and Zayin, which are all these very serious life and death halachos. But what the commentators point out is there's a contradiction. In the Sefer Chassidim, let's see if I can find it. Yeah, Tufshin Ayin, which is 701. So one's in Tuf Resh Ayin Tes, so not so far away. 679, and this is Tufshin Aleph, rather, 701. So there it says, B'nei Adam Shebesvina, if people are in a boat, Vayeruach Sa'ara, and there's a storm, Ein Rishayim Lahapil Garolos, Shemipol Alech Mehem Tzarech Latila Bayon. Ein Zelasos Kasher Osel Yonah Ben Amitai. Don't do what they did to Yonah. We have a concept that sometimes people say they're willing to subject themselves to randomness, but it doesn't mean that deep down they really mean that's the issue with gambling. A person loses his money. I said I'd play the game, but then I lost all my money, so at some level it's like stealing from me, because even though I agreed to it, but I didn't really mean it. So here's a person, even if they all agree to put their lives at risk, alright, you know, we'll draw lots, but you can't do this. Smachta, even if a person agrees to it, he doesn't mean it seriously. So all the commentators did, but in the other paragraph he said to do it. The answer is that in this one, it doesn't say there's a storm just on this boat. So then you can't do it. That's the answer that the Binyan Tzion gives, which is one of the poskim. Yaakov Ettlinger and the Tzitz Eliezer cites the same thing. To what degree there's validity in using a gorol, a lottery? It's a pasuk in Mishlei, "Bechek yutolas gorol me Hashem kol mishpoto." You cast the lot in the lap, and the judgment comes from Hashem. They're starting to talk about that we actually do hold, at least for great people, we do believe Hashem would sometimes send an answer by way of gorol, by way of lottery. There's a famous concept called the Goral HaGra, which is when a great person needs an answer and can't get clarity, that there's a way to open up a Tanakh and turn a certain number of pages and psukim and so on. There have been a good number of cases of great tzaddikim who have used Goral HaGra to interpret certain things, how to act. I think I mentioned one here, Rabbi Levine.
I was going to say, I went on a tour with Benji, his brother, behind the shuk, and he takes you to the shul. Did anybody ever go on his tours? They're amazing, Benji Levine. And he showed you, like, the shul that they did, this Goral HaGra.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a street, you know, Rabbi Levine there, like behind the shuk. And he does amazing tours, and he takes you into the shul where they actually did meet.
Oh, wow, I'd love to see that. Yeah, that was the Shayeret HaLamed Hei. That was in the War of Independence. There was a group that was terribly attacked, and they were so badly beaten that they weren't identifiable. So there were 12 soldiers who were killed that they couldn't identify. So Hirsch Pesach Frank, the Rabbi Yerushalayim, asked about the Tzadik, Rabbi Levine, to do a Goral HaGra. The first few psukim he got were about being Kadosh, and also Lamed Hei was called the 35th Unit Battalion, so the Kadoshim and Lama, a few things Lama Hay, and then as they went to each grave, one was named Benyamini, they got a pasuk with Benyamini, they identified. Yeah. And if you go to Mount Herzl, where the military, so I don't think there's anything that recognizes it there. I went to find the Sheret Lama Hay, they're all identified, there's nothing there that said, do you know how these graves were identified? It's unbelievable. But that was the Brisker Rav did it. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro had a yeshiva that he moved out of its location, and he wasn't sure if he should bring it back, if the Talmidim would follow him, and he got the pasuk that said, Moshe should, he wasn't sure if he should leave. He said Moshe should leave the Machanah, and anybody who wants the word of Hashem will follow him. There have been some amazing instances of the girl Agra, but it's not, don't try this at home. It's not, but it's for great people. So there is some legitimacy of using a girl, but there are posts we talk about where there's an instance where if one is sacrificed, you'd save the others, but that's the most serious halacha in Judaism, because we don't have an allowance that, and life is infinitely valuable. If we lose one, we'll be able to save 100. We don't work that way. So to what degree, there's one of the Sfarim that says you can actually use a goral in certain cases.
They don't actually do that now. Does anybody have the ability to do that now?
A goral hagra?
Yeah.
I don't know. The
Brisker. Remember, Ari Levine was not so long ago.
Right.
He's within our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. I think Meir Soloveitchik did one. Mm-hmm. The one I just mentioned is the most recent one I'm aware of. Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was probably 30 or so years ago when he did that, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure that everybody publicizes it when they do.
Right.
These are Anoshim Tznuim, very private people. There is something called a Koach HaGorol, a power of lottery. In the absence of Nevuah, another thing, Hashem can sometimes put guidance in Goral, but it should only be done if it's done properly and by people who know how it's done. So there is some halachic discussion about based on Yonah, and we do have the Sefer Chassidim say, if it were literally the same circumstance, where it's clearly a divine act, and there's no danger around it, only on them, that then it is legitimate. So what do we see in the story? Hashem does not want them to bring him back. If Yonah's going to come back, Hashem is going to be on his own. And he's showing them, look, you put him in the water, it ends the storm. That's clearly the way you have to go. So they do throw him in the water. Pasuk tezva, vayis'u es Yonah. They carried Yonah, vayitiluhu el hayam. They cast him into the sea. Vayamod hayam miza'apo. And the sea calmed down from it.